Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we had a bit of a chat, didn't we, Andy?
We did. We had a nice chat with Danny Kelly about the Premier League weekend. And then news happened.
Yeah, news happened, which slightly took the show in a different direction. But we won't bring you the Jesse Marsh fallout to down the podcast. But before that happened, we did talk a bit of Leeds with Danny Kelly and kind of suspected something like this could potentially happen. So you'll hear our deep dive into the Premier League weekend and our chat. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And it was green football weekend, you'll notice.
Yeah, I did notice that.
I thought it was
very
good of Liverpool to employ Greta Thunberg as guest defensive coach.
Yeah.
And they had them back line glued themselves to the spot in their just stopped defending protests. Very moving.
That would have been lovely, wouldn't it? It'd been great if they'd got Greta in. Someone who smiled less than Roy Keane.
Brilliant. Really fantastic.
They're being very, very miserable about it.
There was a good moment at Brentford on Saturday afternoon where we turned around. And my friend and I, we saw in Matthew Benham's box, he always has a special guest, and it was Gary Neville.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, "That's Gary Neville." So the bloke in front sort of turned around and spotted him. He went, "I think that's Gary. Is it Gary Neville?" And it went on for about 3 minutes. "Is that Gary?" I said, "No, it's Britain's foremost Gary Neville impersonator." Well, of course it's Gary Neville.
There's that bloke who does the voice, who's quite uncanny.
Yeah, but not the face.
Not the face. Would you make much money as a Gary Neville lookalike?
I don't think so.
You could go out with that fella who really sounds like him and then just mime. The pair of them, they're prepared to split the money. But then they'd have a fallout because the bloke who does the voice would argue he's doing all the heavy lifting. Just opening it. It'd be like a vent act, wouldn't it? He could go. Anyway, so just a thought.
It's not really going to happen, is it? There's a sense of an inevitability when a chance falls to Harry Kane. Yeah. And he took it. And goes, I was thinking, yeah, Havertz would have spooned that over the bar. He would.
Yeah,
what a great start to the weekend.
It was a bit of a bobbler, though. I thought, you know, there was a moment when it came to him. He just sort of put it into the ground.
But he just makes the space. Assesses it so quickly what to do. No take a touch, just first, you know, he's brilliant.
Unless you were at the game yesterday, you wouldn't have seen an opportunity he had where he kind of tried to cut across the ball on the volley and completely messed it up. But wow, that would have been some goal had he managed to do it. The ball was flying in. But very enjoyable day yesterday. It was great to watch him be there when he did the business and got the record, a sensational player. Mm. It's very interesting listening there to what Teddy Sheringham had to say, because the ball is very much in Harry Kane's court now. He'll go into the summer. I don't want to imagine they'll want to take stock and they're going to want to see what's going on and whether they've got
Champions
League. It
depends on what happens the rest of the year. If they win the cup or they get to the Champions League final,
But of course, last time he had a few years left on a contract and Tottenham held all the aces and the chairman, the case in the summer.
You get the sense he's not a complicated bloke and that he loves the club. You know, you wouldn't be surprised if he spent his whole career there. You know,
we'll have to see. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But a very interesting weekend. We spoke to Stan Collymore. He caught up with Sean Dyche last week and sensed a bit of, not so much confidence, but just a good mood. He thought the vibe was good at Everton. He was telling us, Stan, and so it proved when they went out and played brilliantly on the Saturday.
They did. They were excellent. They deserved to win. They really did.
We're going to have a chat with Danny Kelly
about
that.
We'll look at all the games,
all the Premier League.
I had an interesting thing last night. I decided to go for get a pizza, and I decided to walk because of
some kind of preemptive walk off the pizza.
No, before I got it, and then when I came back. Anyway, I have to go under an underpass, and I got to this. There was intersection of this underpass. It's quite complicated.
Yeah,
and you often see people looking around, thinking, "Where do we go?" And this woman approached me, and she in a very heavily,
approached by a woman on an underpass.
Yeah, very heavily accented voice asked me where the station was.
Yeah.
So I said, well, follow me, because we're walking that way. And I started talking to her, and I said to her, where are you from? And of course, you can't ask anybody where you're from. And she said, Barnes.
Oh, okay. That puts you in your place. When did you leave the royal household?
No. So she was Israeli, it turned out.
Oh, okay. Right,
so I said, what country are you from? Israel. And that was it. But I realised you can't actually say to people now, where are you from?
Yeah.
When she said Barnes, I didn't know where to go from that.
Yeah.
Not really, are you? But there you
what
go.
Part of Barnes?
I said to her, you're very lucky. You've met the only Jewish person that lives in Chiswick. That's not quite true.
Yeah. I'm sure that's not the case.
Nice.
Anyway, Will Collar, I think he was on the score sheet for Stockport County the other
definitely.
Day. And I thought, if Will doesn't want to be scoring goals for Stockport, there could be a future in telly with his new game show format, Hot Under the Collar.
Marvellous.
Where you basically, he's linked up to a blood pressure thing, and you wind him up by saying things like, Stockport are rubbish, you're going down. And he gets so annoyed, and you basically, if you get his blood pressure up to a certain point, you win the car.
It's a bit like me. Our annoying work experience lad is a Brighton
fan. That's very harsh. He's only come in, and all he had the temerity to point out, Brighton
so
are doing
annoying.
Very well, and
oh,
they
no,
are fifth
so
in
typical.
The league.
It was exactly the same as what I was talking about last week.
Don't start on Brighton again. You could not get a less offensive fan base than the Brighton fans. How do you think they feel about Chelsea fans with their big cigars lording
it?
We
haven't got any cigars. You got any Castellas? Nothing.
Slim Panatella, the old country and western singer. So anyway, we are looking for TV formats for old Will Collar. Well, not young Will Collar of Stockport County.
Obviously, collar and tie as he goes around Bangkok.
Yeah, he does, and other parts of the country. Yeah. Week two, Koh Samui. Yeah. Who knows where he goes?
Yeah. Phuket, as they say.
Well, no need for that. So we'll be, if you've got any TV formats for Will Collar, talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J.
Can I just say that I've...
You can.
I very much
your
enjoyed...
Your show. Well, 50% of it anyway.
Well, thank you very much. I've only just found out. I very much enjoyed our podcast extra last week, and I've been sending around people a bit of it that people really enjoyed, and I've enjoyed it. I can say it because it was you being really funny. And so I do recommend it. I think it's... different.
Tell you what we'll
it's
do.
Something that's different. The bit that I've been saying, we could never do on the show, not at lunchtime.
No,
but it wasn't that rude, but it was a little.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll tidy it up a little bit, and we will put it out at TSH&J at some point. We'll give you a little excerpt of what we do on the podcast extra. You can just go along to where you get your TalkSport podcast and click on podcast extra. You get a free trial to see if you like it or not. And then I think it's $2.99 a month. We do two special podcasts for you away from the regular ones from the show. So there's a special Clips of the Week sort of director's cut where we look back on a particular aspect of Clips of the Week from back in the day. And we do a kind of, we go through Andy's notes, the ones that he makes copious notes. And he never gets through half of them on the show. But so we bring you the scrapings from Andy's barrel.
a great description.
And occasionally it goes a bit weird, as the last one did. So anyway, if you want to go and check that out, wherever you get your TalkSport podcast, click on TalkSport Extra. And so we will put out a little taster of what we got up to. As Andy recalled the time that Lloyd Hunnigan, the great Lloyd Hunnigan, gave him some boxing advice when Andy first took up boxing training, and that was the root of a fairly surreal 5-minute conversation. So anyway, we'll get into that, and we'll put that out at TSH&J hopefully a little bit later on or tomorrow.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
The great Danny Kelly. Good afternoon, Danny.
Good afternoon. First of all, let me say how surprised I am that Andy is talking about Will Collar so easily, given that he started his career at Brighton.
Oh, yes.
Let me also say that I've mapped out his entire TV career for him. In the first series, he goes around the country finding other people called Collar in a series called A Fistful of Collars. The second series, where it's hard to find the people, is called for a few collars more.
Oh, beautiful. Yes, maybe it is.
I'm here all week. Enjoy the liver.
Beautiful. Mike Andrew says collar and cuffs. Steady. Collar visits police stations. Maybe it's a bit more. Having his collar felt. Will attempts to carry out various low-level crimes and misdemeanors without getting caught, says Scott. Not that kind of lad, Scott. Lipstick on your collar, says our only Danta. Will compares the durability of lipstick down the years as he snogged by regular celebrity guests. Pitting Max Factor against Rimmel.
That's good.
Oh, I think we'll move on. We got a lot of football to cover, Danny, and we will start at the lane. It is the lane, whatever anybody says. Tottenham 1.
Yes, it is.
Manchester City 0.
Totally deserved.
It was wonderful to be there yesterday to see Harry Kane get the record, stuck around afterwards.
Amazing.
He did seem very emotional at the end, out on the pitch with his teammates. And a very good performance by Tottenham. Two standout performances in a good team performance from Pierre-Emile Højbjerg's best performance for Spurs, and he's had a few good ones in the last couple of years. But Emerson Royal, a man who was basically booed onto the pitch, and it takes a special kind of player to get over that and then play the way he did yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the game, you're absolutely right. Spurs deserved it and were the better team. Unless, as I took the trouble to do in my in-depth research for this section, you watch the 8-minute highlights on Manchester City TV, in which apparently City dominated the game from S to F and were somehow robbed by a combination of refereeing and circumstance. Unbelievable.
That's
commentary.
Incredible.
Go and enjoy it for yourselves after you've finished.
I mean, Morris hit the bar.
And that caused the manager to substitute him. He was so angry with him. They had a word statement as he came off the pitch, didn't he, about hitting that bar. It's rare you can say this, that argument. I thought Højbjerg was immense. You're absolutely right, Paul. But Emerson Royal was fantastic. And he was fantastic and could have been Spurs' man of the match. And the player he was playing against was definitely Manchester City's best player.
Yeah.
In the ever-annoying Jack Grealish. Was fantastic at times. What a game, and what a game within a game between the two of them.
Yeah, the Jack Grealish, I mean, there was the Tottenham fans were irate. He had about 5 or 6 tactical fouls, which is unusual because City have told us many times that they don't tactically foul. They normally share them about. They didn't even bother. Yeah. He was getting away with murder. And the first tackle Bentancur puts
because Rodri's confidence is so low with giving away goals on the edge of his own penalty area.
He buys so many free kicks. He plays for it.
It's an art form. If Brian Hill should come back, Danny, to the Premier League, I'd say watch Jack Grealish, because so often he would just get taken off the ball and then never get anything for it. But Jack Grealish has turned it into an art form, dangling the leg. He does get fouled a lot, but I'd say only about 50% of those are actually fouls. The rest is full on Mr. Grimsdale Norman Wisdom.
He had an amazing game yesterday, Jack. He was the most fouled player on the pitch and committed the most fouls. It was, in my world, the full Kevin Davis.
Yeah.
That's going back 20 years for you. He did commit more fouls than anybody else, and he was the more fouled than anybody else. Even the foul which got Romero sent off, and let's be fair, that was inevitability once he'd reduced Haaland in the first half. Even there, the positioning of his feet after his last touch of the ball, and nothing to do with the way the game is normally played, all to do with gathering the foul. One wonders why he doesn't stay on his feet if he can, because he might be even better player than he already is. But hard not to like him, because he plays the game almost infantile delight, doesn't he? Hard not to like him.
It's almost WWE. He's having a little row with some of the fans at the bottom of the main stand. He loves it. He is great to watch, and he is a fantastic player. But I do find, because he is the most fouled, he does tend to get away with murder at the same time. But just a quick one on Harry Kane before we move on from this game. Just talking about it with Andy there. And Teddy Sheringham's comments a little bit earlier on the station about what does he do now? Because we say the ball is in his court, Danny, in the summer. He'll have a year left on his contract. And if Tottenham haven't sorted something by then, he'll clearly want to wait and see where they're at that stage, where the club are at in terms of their manager and European football. But the ball is completely in his court this time. It'll be interesting to see what he decides to do.
Well, look, I find myself here, Paul, and you know me, the glass is always half full with me. I find myself in a win-win situation. Either he will decide to stay, which I would absolutely love, and I thought some of his comments last night could be interpreted by a Kremlin watcher as suggesting that he might be at Spurs for a little while longer, or he will go, having allowed me to watch the two greatest English strikers, with all due respect to Alan Shearer, of the last 100 years, in himself and Jimmy Greaves, and Paul, and people forget this, having had the privilege to watch him and Son rack up 400 goals since Son joined him in the forward line. They have scored 400 goals. It's beyond. Yeah. It's almost beyond comprehension.
I made
in
a
the
point though,
game,
last year that they kind of waste. They haven't actually won anything with those 400 goals. That's the problem.
Yes, it is a great. it is a great shame. Getting over the line has been that issue, of course.
Not for me. I've taken that. Andy, you'll excuse me if I say, normally the people say, not you, of course, normally the people say it to me, I call them dimwits.
You can call me a dimwit. I thought, finally on
no,
this
no,
game.
No, I don't.
It doesn't matter. City play with Haaland like we did with Lukaku. They just ignore his runs, you know. Crosses. I noticed last night, every cross was to someone else. He's like a decoy.
I know.
It's really
peculiar.
Does
seem odd because you keep seeing these same bits of footage.
I know he scored a lot of goals. I'm not, you know, saying that he hasn't.
Every match of the day summary just shows these great big gaps where he's run into and he's not getting the service. But anyway, City have got bigger fish to fry today.
What's this weird music?
Oh, we better move on. Manchester United 2, Crystal Palace 1. A little late rally against 10 men.
I've got Nottingham Forest 1, Leeds
0. Oh, I'm
going
mad. Sorry, I've gone out of order. Forget that. Nottingham Forest. Spoiler alert. Didn't give away the result if you haven't watched the highlights yet. Nottingham Forest 1, Leeds 0. And I left to go to White Hart Lane yesterday at half-time. I watched the first half, and I didn't think for one moment when I arrived at the ground that Leeds wouldn't have equalised or even got in front, because they were creating lots of... They weren't putting them away, of course. Therein lies the problem. But apparently they weren't great second half. But based on what I saw in the first half, I thought it was only a matter of time.
I mean, again, apologies, Andy. I didn't mean to call you a dimwit. Honestly, I didn't. You know, I adore you. I do.
I get him a lot more on this show. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
No. Look, Leeds have got the relegation problem that dare not speak its name. They are playing pretty well, but losing every game. And that it's almost better to be being absolutely useless so you can change the manager, get a bounce and move on. What you can't have is what's happening now. They are the better team in great sections of the games they're playing, but still not getting any results. And I'm beginning to fear for them now because of that.
It was
they've also committed themselves to Marsh by... Yeah, go on. They committed themselves to Jesse Marsh by buying a load of American and players he's worked with previously. And for their sake, one hopes that clicks sooner rather than later. But it didn't look like it was clicking. I mean, I can say they're not a bad team, but they're specialists in bad results.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It was Kayla Navas against Leeds, but it was very interesting. Bamford reminds me of Havertz. He's a nice player, but he misses a lot of chances.
He's only just come back. There was a couple of chances.
And the commentator said he looks like he hasn't played much. I thought, but he always looks like that. That's what he looks like. That he's him. He's a lovely footballer, but somehow... Yeah. He needs like 10 chances to score.
You're right, then. They have good players, and you look about the Leeds fans, they're fearing the worst a bit, as you said. They were saying Jesse time ago yesterday. From a Forest point of view, Steve Cooper would be delighted because they've been great at home, but they didn't play particularly well yesterday, and they still won. So that's what you want from a side that he thinks potentially can stay in the Premier League.
And I guess a demonstration as well of the amazing power of the Premier League. When, you know, in 1 minute you've got a whole batch of players, the next minute you've got multi-Champions League winning Keylor Navas in goal. Serge Aurier, whether you fancy him or not as a player, is the captain of the Ivory Coast. They can bring in Chris Wood. And so once again, the kaleidoscope of the Premier League changes. And imagine if you said 2 years ago that would be the Forest players on the day. They just think you were mad. It's incredible. And you know, they took advantage of Leeds' Achilles heel, that they can't win these games.
Yeah, and some bad misses yesterday. Anyway, Newcastle West Ham will be next. Newcastle 1, West Ham 1. When we return, Danny Kelly is with us.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well.
If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Danny Kelly is with us and we're reflecting on the Premier League weekend. Lots to get stuck into. Next up it is Newcastle 1, West Ham 1. An interesting game, another draw for Newcastle.
4-5 for them.
Yeah, a good result for West Ham though. And maybe the green shoots from a West Ham point of view. Declan Rice, that was quite interesting that Jason Burt picked up today in the Telegraph saying that it's quite odd that it was volunteered. David Moyes saying, "Oh yeah, when he is finally sold, he'll go for a British record transfer fee." No one asked him to say that. No, he kind of volunteered.
It is absolutely clear that he is going to leave West Ham.
Yeah, you would think so. But Paquetá as well, kind of feeling that he's getting used to the Premier League now, and you'll start to see the best of him in the second half of the season.
I mean, it was a game where the draw, I guess, was slightly predictable because it was one of those weekends where the Premier League shows why it holds down the big bucks that it does around the world. Mm. I think I'm right in saying that in the top half, only three teams won, and in the bottom half, only three teams lost. This draw for West Ham was, on the surface of it, a fantastic result, and it was a very good result, but around them, Everton, Nottingham Forest, Leicester, I don't want to give away the results in advance, Paul. They all managed to win. And so they almost had to get this point to keep themselves above the dreaded dotted line. But, you know, I can never pronounce the fella's name. The centre-back has been out injured. Is that how he's pronouncing his name? He's clearly a very good player. And
the one
he
with
has,
pace, Aguerd.
Yeah. Aguerd. He has... He has sort of cemented the team again, which was looking a bit flaky at the back, wasn't it?
Well, they've got Chelsea next. That's 3 points. They'll be fine there.
He's on blue square within 5 years, says Andy. Yes.
But I thought the Willock disallowed goal, I was thinking about this, that in the World Cup or on TikTok, that's a goal.
on TikTok?
Oh, yeah. People analysing it in different angles and putting a ball down and shooting it from things, saying, oh, no, it wasn't over the line.
Yeah. It was a pretty mad one. So, Newcastle, can they be those teams pushing for top four? Can they hunt them down? Who are the teams that can fall out of the
only
top
Spurs.
Four?
No, it's Newcastle or... Well, actually, we'll come on to United, but they're going to miss Casemiro, so that could...
They
could,
certainly
could
are. OK, well, let's move on then to Wolves 3, Liverpool 0. We spoke to Stan Collymore on Friday and... He did fancy Wolves in this game. As such, it's quite hard to believe what's going on at Liverpool at the moment. The strain telling, of course, as we saw with Jurgen Klopp in the press conference, where he refused to answer a question one of the Athletic writers, although it could be that he got the wrong writer, which to make it even worse. Mm. But, these are troubled times at Liverpool. But when you look at the players still to come back, Konate, Van Dijk, Firmino... Jota, Diaz, you know, they could be a very different
team.
He's
been a big miss, Diaz, because he was very effective for them. But I thought that it was a rare thing from Adama Traore, an actual assist. He did something. And the own goal, which I think I have to go to the dubious own goals committee. I don't know if they have one of those. Whether it was Matip or whether it was Trent who put it in.
Yeah, it's a weird game, Danny.
It's very hard, isn't it? I mean... to put your finger, and I mean, look, Jurgen Klopp's paid a lot more than me to put his finger on it, of what's going on there, because you mentioned the injuries. We know that Mane was an important part of the way they played, all those things. But for the team to fall so far off the cliff so quickly, I mean, I can only put it down to the exertions of last season. I mean, this season was always going to be weird with the World Cup as well, but they went so close to doing something. They did amazing things last season, but they came very close to doing something beyond amazing, unbelievable. And I wonder whether there's a psychological fall off from that, and where they were, you know, initially papering over the cracks with the young players. The young players are now getting exposed by the failings of their older teammates. That's a horrible mess. And you're absolutely right, Paul, to say that Jurgen Klopp's reaction suggests that he too might be spending some time scratching his head about it, because he didn't appear to be... He didn't even say, we're just going to have to work hard in training. He just didn't say anything after the game.
Conceding three goals to Wolves, though, that's three matches worth for them. They normally get...
Let's just hope the Wolves are saying we have actually used up three matches worth of goals. That's the problem. It means we can have we just got to try and get a couple of nil-nils for the next two. Anyway, Liverpool's problems continue. Well done to Wolves, good result. We move on then to Manchester United 2.
You didn't have the temerity, Paul, to put Klopp in the barrel?
No. Well, you know what? No. Not yet. Despite, there is somebody... Okay. Maybe a slightly more deserving still to come. So somebody will be in the barrel very shortly, so stay tuned for that. But it is Manchester United 2, Crystal Palace 1, the one I went with earlier on. And it was all about the Casemiro's MMA-like choke-out of Will Hughes.
Yeah, it looked worse in the still than it did in the actual
it
action.
Did.
I wonder if he'll get three
there's an
games.
IU kind of push into the chest of Fred, which is kind of throat high. I mean, if you wanted to send a few off, you could have done. So it's that old... I mean, it was just so clear-cut, wasn't it? It was like the raft of the Medusa, wasn't it? You just looked at different parts of the picture, and then until you found the bit you wanted, which is Casemiro choking out Will Hughes.
Yeah, well, first of all, well done with referring the raft of the Medusa on a football show in the middle of the day. Congratulations for that. Look, there's a part of me... I get why he was sent off, but it's a part of me who says, you know, that wouldn't have been a sending off in most of the game's history.
No.
I mean, did he try and kill Will Hughes? Not really. Was it influenced by the fact that Will Hughes looks like the player who could be most easily hurt and there's sympathy vote in it? Look, I know he had to go, but would it have mattered if they just said that was handbags all round, let's get on with the game?
No, I kind of felt that.
They didn't show all the melee. I was listening to the game on TalkSport coming back from Brentford, and there was a real melee at the end of the match, but they didn't show a match.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot get someone by the throat. It is, I mean, as everybody has been saying, if you do that, there's every chance you will get sent off. It was a daft thing to do, and there he is, three games out, having missed one for the bookings as well. So it's all a bit of a disaster from their point of view. For Palace, I mean, we look at Palace's stats. They are a touch worrying at the moment when you look at their numbers.
They could be dragged
into it. They're
kind
of getting sucked into it a bit, aren't they?
Yes. Look, my show tonight at 7, I have a Crystal Palace producer. Now, he is a guy who does see the glass half empty, but he's also a realist, Ian, and he's saying... He doesn't know where the next result is coming from. And this is a sort of refrain that Andy has sometimes got into with Chelsea this season. I think there are enough teams below Palace who are not very good for them to be all right. But somebody is going to, particularly with this weekend's result, somebody is going to go into a springtime decline, stop winning games, and they could easily get sucked into it. Because I suspect West Ham, Leeds, Everton, I know we said Leeds are really struggling, but you can see how they all might improve. And so the teams directly above them might have reason to worry. And Palace have done this before, haven't they? Got themselves into relative safety and then fell away.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on then to the result that Andy always looks for. I know he's a big fan of the club.
I'm not saying anything. I mean, honestly, I was gutted when they scored.
Feeder club. Brighton 1, Bournemouth 0. And that man Matoma again, who's been playing so well. Just a little general point from this game, watching Match of the Day. And I've noticed it in other matches as well. The deliberate barge in the box where you make no attempt to get the ball... is never a penalty anymore. You see quite a lot of examples of this. There was one with Son, I can't remember if it was against earlier, and it might have been, was it Liverpool? But just, I think it was Trent, wasn't it? No attempt at all to get, just hands on the player, push them over. They're rarely pens. We had one the other day with Estupiñán on Ouattara. And again, he's made no attempt to get the ball. He's just pushed the fella over and the ref's not interested. So that's the high bar, apparently. Because outside the box, you know that's a free kick. Mm.
Well, you don't want to get into penalty controversy top trumps, but if that wasn't a penalty compared to the Crystal Palace handball, which, you know, unnatural position if you want to say that.
Unlucky,
but,
Will.
You know, I'd argue that when they put their hands behind their back, that's an unnatural position as well. Let's be truthful about it. That was a penalty. The push was a proper penalty. And again, this is where maybe the lack of professional players rather than professional officials in that truck is costing us here, because all the players would say, of course, he's gone across his body there. So he's not worried about the touch of the ball. He's just making sure that the player is unbalanced enough not to take advantage of the touch that he's got.
Yeah.
It looked like a penalty to me, Paul.
Absolutely. He's not even looking at the ball.
What players should do? You remember how Dennis Law used to hold his sleeves like that? They should do that. And if it hits his hand, it's below the T-shirt, it's not handball.
Oh, blam, you found it. You're Mr. Loophole, you are, Andy. What about that? The Andy Jacobs law that suddenly came into football. A good result for Brighton. Keeps them in touch.
Yeah, Bournemouth would be gutted not to get a point. I know I was.
They were a bit unlucky. But again, you know, these are tough times for Gary O'Neill as well. I mean, being unlucky and not managing to come away with a point means, you know, you are still down there at the bottom, and with all that extra money spent and all those new players brings even more pressure, I would think.
Yeah, it doesn't look great for Bournemouth. They're not an absolutely terrible team, but in a Premier League where that, you know, not being absolutely terrible just won't cut it. You know, and you could argue this is exactly what happens to teams at the bottom. They concede a late goal after putting up a pretty good scrap against their south coast neighbours, but again, they're going to have to win their games at home. the teams that are down at the bottom, it's their home form will decide what they're going to do. And disclosure is, Andy, you know, that's a form result. Brighton are a very good team. I'm not sure how they've achieved it. Andy knows more about the details than me. But Bournemouth are going to win in the home games.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've got time for Brentford.
We're going to do it in a minute. When we return, someone will be climbing in the barrel. But who's it going to be? Find out very shortly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Danny Kelly is with us. We're looking back over the Premier League weekend. And it's time now to reveal whose turn it is in the barrel. Yes, every week someone takes their turn in the barrel, and there was a number of nominees this week. Danny mentioned Jurgen Klopp, but step forward and please climb into the barrel, Nathan Jones. the Southampton manager. They lost 3-0 to Brentford. Andy witnessed the game, he'll tell us more in a moment. And the cardinal sin of any coach. I mean, first there was the fairly bizarre thing of him saying, you know, I've compromised too much. I do love his voice. I've compromised too much, he was saying.
Yeah.
And then said it won't be like that now. The trouble is, of course, if it still goes wrong, he has absolutely no excuses. And he used a term, Danny, he should never use. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue. He didn't say we've when he talked about the team. He said they've.
Oh, dear.
Oh, and there's it's a long road back when you've said they've. I just think it'd do a good undermilk wood, Nathan, don't you think? To begin. Nathan, what do you think of the game today? Well, to begin at the beginning. It is spring. No, it's not. It's February, Nathan. Moonless night in the sun. Well, we're not particularly moonless. It was a 3 o'clock
kickoff. Starless and Bible black.
He'd do a very good. I think Nathan would do a very fine undermilk wood, but we'll park that for now.
You can help me, Paul, with your impression then, because when the barrel was rolled into him just now, he goes, already?
Yeah.
Really, lads, already?
Come on. Somebody else should be more deserved. You were there, Andy.
I was there.
You witnessed it.
Two things. Brentford are a fantastic run. Ivan Toney is the striker any team would want, especially my team. And Ward-Prowse, there's one moment they didn't show a match of the day, and it was when it was at 0-0. And Ward-Prowse was through. And for some, it was a mad decision. I don't know why he crossed it. All he had to do is hit it with his left foot, he would have scored. And he crossed it, and it went past the on coming forward.
Yeah.
And that was it. They were never in the game after that. And,
yeah.
You know, and Brentford totally deserved to win. I thought Thomas Frank, very interesting. He talked about a soft set you know, to set up the cross. And you it's so clever, that, because so often the ball's banged to the winger or the fullback, and he has to take a touch. As soon as he takes a touch, the defence can get set. Whereas if you play it back to him softly, yeah, he's in it first time, and the first time cross is so much more effective. Yeah. And that's just typical of Brentford and the way they look at everything. Brilliant club.
And Frank, I've got to be slightly big-headed here. There's often people talking about football who are paid to talk about it, and I go, I'm not sure, I don't know. I know every bit as much as this fella. But Thomas Frank, I think I might sit down and shut up, because he appears to know a great deal about how to set football teams up. And even that tiny detail of making sure that the penultimate ball, not the cross into the box, but the ball that leads to the cross, is spot on. And, of course, the beneficiaries of that are Matoma and Mboma and our friend Ivan Toney. Because and it's just wonderful watch. I don't quite know how you differentiate between Brighton and Brentford, Andy, because they appear to be doing much the same sorts of things to me.
Yeah. One he likes and one he doesn't. That's the logic.
That's the logic.
One.
All right.
They haven't got their £20 million manager that he's not having, but we'll come on to that. And the
Graham
Barraclough. Of course, it's that.
The match of the day cameras.
That's what my son and I call him now, Mr.
Really?
Barraclough.
I'm just saying, maybe Chelsea did need Mr. McKay and they got Mr. Barraclough.
Honestly, Emma Hayes would do a better job than him, I'm telling you.
Well, why wouldn't she? She's a war-winning coach.
Well, yeah.
13 days with that team, and they came out there and looked like they didn't never even met each other.
Look, it's not that easy, Andy, to mould all these players.
Sean Dyche seemed to manage it.
Well, yes. I mean, he didn't have... Yeah, well, I can't argue with that. We'll come on to that. Brentford, we did like Thomas Frank's tactics board. It was picked up by a Match of the Day. It was quite... I wonder what it was. I thought he was going to present a picture.
It's very
to
old
Nathan
school.
Jones.
He's right in front of us. So
it was probably
it's
a lovely... Probably a portrait of Dylan Thomas he was going to hand to him, but it's massive. It's a huge tactics
board. Anyway, quick, we've got to move on.
We've got to move on. Let's move without music. Ooh. Quick. So there we are. Poor old Nathan in the barrel. Villa 2, Leicester 4. New signings. It kept saying, didn't he, Brendan? Bit of fresh blood, fresh impetus, new signings, new players. Yeah. That's all I need. As soon as he gets them,
You've got Kevin Hatchard on with you. Kevin's been banging on to me on Transfer Europe's Best Bet Tete for ages, and he looked absolutely oven ready for the Premier League, didn't he?
Very good.
And a
cracker that proves my point that anyone can beat anyone in the Premier League from sixth down to about 17th. But it was a classic modern day giving it away at the back goal as well, wasn't it? So there you go.
So, things looking up for Leicester, the new signings, they'll be happy with that. Everton 1, Arsenal 0. It's been spoken about an awful lot since it happened. It was a pretty seismic result. I'm not sure. I mean, I'd see one of the papers saying today, the blueprint of how to beat Arsenal. But there's been plenty of examples this season where teams try and do what Everton did, and all Arsenal do is play through the press and go on and give them a kicking. So I'm not sure it's a blueprint, but certainly...
It was interesting, though, that both Arsenal and City were playing their bogey teams away on the same weekend.
Yeah.
That shouldn't make any difference.
No, it shouldn't,
really.
But, you know, they just got such a poor record there. But what did I say to you about Jorginho? He's a very good player, very nice, good bloke and all that. But there was a moment when they were on transition and he was running back, and you could see, I told you, what's his name, John Moss, run past him.
Yeah.
That is the problem with Jorginho.
But we can't read too much of it from that point of view. We'll see over the next few games with Arsenal whether it's had any effect on them. But well done to Everton, Sean Dyche. As Andy said, in a matter of days, got them organised, got individuals playing better than they had in recent weeks because they've got good players.
And you've got to fancy Everton in the Merseyside derby.
Yeah.
He's a really good coach, Sean. Also, a great advert for time travel. We saw an Arsenal team being outmuscled by a Sean Dyche team whose winning goal came a Dwight McNeil corner ahead of our James Tarkowski. It was 5 years ago at Turf Moor, wasn't it? When exactly the same thing happened.
Amazing, isn't it?
That's right.
His voice will soon be gone.
I was waiting for Ashley Barnes to go through the back of Xhaka, weren't you? That's all it would have needed, him to come on in a blue shirt.
I want to hear Paul's impression of a conversation between Sean Dyche and Nathan Jones. I'm looking forward to that.
They're quite similar. I think my voice might go if I do too much of it. Anyway, just very quickly, Chelsea 0, Fulham 0. Friday night, long time ago, Andy. You were there. What do you reckon?
Terrible. I mean, you know, they had six chances to score a goal. you know, Havertz just drives me mad. He's like 1 in 10. He missed two great opportunities.
Should play that by UB40 before, God, as you run out.
Yeah, but honestly, Badashile's come in and he looks really good. He's 3 clean sheets since he's played.
And you like Fernandes as well, yeah, you said.
And Fernandes obviously is class. But it's typical of Potter. He decides he's got a choice of which one to leave out of the Champions League. And he leaves out the Badashile, the one who's actually playing quite well, is actually solid. Like, you don't need to defend in the Champions League, of course. Like, we haven't got enough, you know, sort of forwards. We've got loads of wing forwards like that. And what a mistake.
What did you make of Fulham, Andy?
I think they're pretty ordinary. I think both games I thought they were pretty ordinary. I thought Chelsea should have won the match. Mm-hmm. They only had sort of 3 shots at goal. They seemed quite content with a 0-0. And I think they're all right. I don't think they're as good as Brentford or Brighton.
Oh, blimey. You said a nice thing about Brighton, Danny. What about that? Well, that'll teach him.
Yeah, it did.
My view on Potter now, seriously, is basically give him to the end of the season. If there's any improvement, fine, then he'll earn the right to be there next season. But there isn't. There is absolutely no point in waiting till next November when another season's gone to get rid of him.
Well, Danny, what about that? Potter out? What do you think?
Well, wait. But, you know, it's got to show some improvement. So far, there's no improvement.
Well, you know, I can't really top Andy's analysis of the match there. All I would say, Paul, that over in Belgium, Scott Parker is already in the barrel.
Yeah.
I'll just make that point to talk about Paul. Yeah, he is. Well, he hasn't won a match yet, no.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show.
I'm going to get that album from the Jesse March Fallout.
The Jesse March Fallout. What a band they were. Tremendous. I'll be back tomorrow with Charlie Baker. And you return on Wednesday.
I do.
We'll see which other Premier League managers get the sack. There's not many of them at the bottom who haven't changed managers. And one of them could be changing manager again. So anyway, we'll look out for more of that. But until tomorrow, thanks for listening. Do hope you can join us for one. If not, the podcast will be available about 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.